Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Warning, new phishing scams masquerade as a billing error alert from Netflix, and they push victims to update their payment details within 24 hours or their subscription will be voided. And everybody's watching Netflix these days. You don't want to lose it. So they go ahead and give out their info. The link even redirects to a very real-looking CAPTCHA form. Looks super official, but it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet, and LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If you become a victim of identity theft, you have access to a dedicated restoration specialist thanks to LifeLock. Right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for Saturday, September 12th, 2020. This show where we highlight some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. We'll play some clips right here. First off, I want to remind everybody that there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, let me introduce myself. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Gio. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
And I'm excited. We got a good show lined up. So why don't we get right into it? One of my favorite musicians that comes in is a guy named Wheeler Walker Jr.
And we just played him last week, which inspired me to play a little more because I'm like, this is so funny. And I realized that I actually like his live in-studio acoustic performances on The Adam Carolla Show. And I've heard him on another podcast or two, but mostly the ACS, better than I like his album versions. And it's almost like, well, he's just come in studio and record every song again and put out like an acoustic Adam Carolla sessions.
I completely agree. He's a great performer. Like he, and there is a little bit of magic whenever musicians play within these studio walls, but... When he puts on the glasses and he gets into a song, I'm ready to both be mesmerized and laugh my ass off.
Sometimes the first times he's playing them outside of recording for the album, he'll even say that. And I went back and I went comparison album to acoustic and studio version. I like his phraseology and his inflection better on the stuff in this with Adam Carolla Show. I just do. And so this first clip we're playing is Adam Carolla Show 2443. Wheeler Walker Jr., Joe Coy, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. Joe's not in this portion. It's the guest portion with Wheeler. He's playing Fuck You With The Lights On live in studio from October 2018. Check it out.
The song I'm going to play is called Fuck You With The Lights On, which is, you know, again, my version of a love song. Because, you know, when you love someone, you want to see it going in.
Yeah.
We good?
Take it away.
Girl, there's something different about you. Makes me want to try something brand new. So let's get you back to my place. We ain't got no time to waste. I wanna put a big smile on your face. Wanna fuck you with the lights on. Wanna do it all night long. Wanna see them old titties flapping. Flip that switch, baby, make it happen. Come on, honey, do we have a deal? I'll split your legs in the electric bill. gonna write you a love, 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 love song. If I can fuck you with the lights on, well, fuck going green, cause your tight pussy needs to be seen. So let me fuck you with the lights on. I wanna do it all night long. Wanna see that ass clapping. Flip that switch, baby, make it happen. Come on, honey, do we have a deal? I'll split your legs in the electric bill. Gonna write you a love, 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 love song. If I can fuck you with the lights on.
Oh,
woo!
Wow, that's wow. Nice. Wow. You gotta be asked to do a lot of weddings and quinceañeras and
anniversaries.
Yeah, I do. I turn down, you know, now that I just got off tour with Kid Rock, so once you do that, it's kind of no going back to the weddings and shit.
Really?
And that was Fuck You With The Lights On, played by Wheeler Walker Jr.
My favorite part is when Adam laughs at either a title or a turn of phrase with the lyrics.
Yeah.
And the one in there about global warming and F going green.
It's so good.
You hear Adam's laughing in the background.
Yeah.
So great. I played it back 3 or 4 times while doing the cuts, and I just laughed my ass off.
Yeah, Adam loves to just sit back and crack up when comedy like that is happening before him.
I'm telling you, just have him in. Have him play every song until he's exhausted.
We should just do a full live concert.
Yeah, or not even a concert, just like a regular show. Adam, Gina, Brian, you know, intro, news, all that. And then just like every 10 minutes or so, you make him play a song, and then he can chime in as well throughout the rest of the episode.
That'd be too fun. I'm down.
I'd love it.
All right. Well, speaking of the lights on and doing stuff while the lights on, you want to make sure your hair looks good. And that's why I'm here to tell you about Madison Reed Mister. We're all working from home, staring at those Zoom calls and the selfie mode, seeing your gray hair, a little more salt than pepper. Well, Madison Reed Mister is here to save the day. It's a gray blending natural color for your hair and your beard. I saw before and after shots on the website. I saw before and after shots on Adam Carolla. He looks great, and there's no shoe polish look. It's very natural looking, which is what we want when we're trying to dye our hair. And ladies, Lynette Carolla loves this stuff too, so they do a lot of great stuff for women. It's quick and easy. Just apply the color gel to your dry hair, add the activator, wait 10 minutes, then rinse in shampoo. Plus, they deliver right to your door. All you got to do is go to madisonreedmister.com. That's madisonreedmr.com. Use the code Carolla, and they'll give you a nice little deal. Go ahead to madisonreedmister.com. All right, let's get going with our next clip. Gio, Adam loves breaking down songs, but he also likes breaking down movie scenes. And
he does.
One of my favorite movie scenes that he loves to talk about is from the movie Showgirls.
Yeah, it's a key scene in Showgirls where the main character is told what's expected of her by Robert Davi, and one of his most iconic roles in all of film. Robert Davi's the guest on this episode. This is before he joins us at the top of the show. Adam Carolla Show 1707 with Gina Grad and Brian Bishop from November of 2015. So they go over the infamous scene in Showgirls, and then Adam describes his awkward lunch with Joel McHale, who found out the suit was being canceled the first time. Check it out.
I just love that. It's a great Robert Davi scene. Well, Showgirls is so good in so many ways.
You've not seen Godfather 2, but you love Showgirls.
I love Showgirls. And when Robert Davi,
quality,
Robert Davi plays the club owner.
Torres.
And
this just in, he's not a upstanding guy.
When
it comes to business ethics.
There's the great speech he gives to one of the dancers at the club. I think we have it.
Isn't it Gina Gershon?
No. This is early on.
It's the little blonde girl from Nebraska.
Penny.
Oh, the innocent one. Yeah.
That's right. Here we go.
You need more pink?
Oh, thanks, Heather.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a lap dance before?
No.
You gotta talk them into it, hey? $50 a pop, you take them in the back. Touch and go. They touch, they go. You can touch them. They cannot touch you.
Oh, that's good.
Now, if they come, it's okay. If they take it out, come all over you, call a bouncer. Unless he gives you a big tip. If he gives you a big tip, it's okay. You got that?
Okay.
Good. And you. Where the fuck were you last night?
I was having my period, Al. You don't want me to get blood all over the place. Do you?
Getting real tired of your shit, kid. If you want to last longer than a week, you give me a blowjob. First I get you used to the money, then I make you swallow.
Simpler times.
Are you serious?
Al Torres.
I miss him.
He says, nobody wants to fuck a penny.
Mr. Torres, HR is going to have a word with you. We've received numerous complaints.
Well, they want me to come on him again? License to Kill, also Die Hard, Goonies, of course, Showgirls. And Robert, quite a singer. Seen him at many of the Feast of San Gennaro's. Oh. Big band up there on stage. Belting
it out.
He does
the whole Rat Pack. The Sinatra thing, really.
Yep. All right. So I just had the misfortune of having lunch with Joel McHale whilst touring his newly built home. Yeah. Whilst he was being told that the soup is being canceled.
Oh, you were there for the moment?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
It's a weird moment in that he's done the show for 12 years. I think he said 12 years. We're out looking at his barbecue. And he was having this. By the way, I love Joel McHale. The biggest problem, I think, with all the guys, the Joel McHales, the Seth MacFarlanes, and even the Jimmy Kimmels, is they've become so successful that it's hard to hang out nearly as much as you'd like to hang out with them because of the crazy schedule, because they're going to Vancouver to shoot X-Files.
Right.
And it's just no. And then the problem also is there's money. So what comes around is then you go, well, then what about Christmas time? Oh, we're going to Whistler. Mm-hmm. So now you have to go somewhere when you have you have 10 days to breathe, and you've definitely got to go somewhere because it's not putzing around in your house coat. So, but it was nice. I've seen Joel here, but we're trying to carve out a little old-fashioned quality time. And so I said, well, why don't I come by the new house you're working on? I'll give it a little walk through, crack the whip, yell at some Mexicans, and we'll do that. And then, we'll go out to lunch. But he was getting the news that either he quit or the show was canceled or it was both or whatever on his giant phone as we're doing this. And then, of course, it's nothing but agents, publicists, and everyone wants a statement.
Sure.
So it's hard to enjoy your Cobb salad when someone is...
to enjoy your Cobb salad.
I was able to enjoy his, actually, because it was nothing but... It's everyone from the wife to the agent, the publicist to the whoever want to know, and they need you to say something.
Footnote, is Cobb salad the best of all salads?
Yes, because it's the least salad-y. Yeah. It's bacon. It's all protein.
Taco salad, I think, is the least salad-y.
Bacon, egg, and blue cheese.
Salad. Hard-boiled egg and avocado, fucking A.
The reason the Mexican salad, the fiesta salad, the taco salad is the greatest is, first off, it's taco first and salad second.
Right.
Salad takes a distant second to the word taco.
Taco
salad. And it's like, if when you shit, instead of shit, candy came out of your ass and you could eat the toilet.
Wow.
Because it comes in a bowl. It's a deep fried bowl. Like, you didn't think you could get fat from a bowl? Oh, yes, you can. Leave it to the Mexicans. Yeah. They figured out a way to get fat eating the bowl that had the taco in it. But don't worry, the salad wasn't really salad anyways. A lot of beans and guacamole and something.
Not since clam chowder in a bread bowl replaced soup.
Right. That's the white man's burden.
Has a dish gone from healthy to unhealthy so fast.
Did you have to console Joel, or he was too busy trying to figure this out?
He was fine. He was just trying to, they want this statement, they want that statement. And a couple of things. You tell me, from the guacamole... Once we were able to guacamole formerly was, hey, this is an avocado. It's kind of expensive in the fruit/produce department. Mm. Like, it ain't cabbage. And somebody's got to take it, mash it up, put some lime in it, and do this, that, and the other. And so it was like, sparing. Mm-hmm. If you wanted a taco back in the day and you wanted guacamole or something, it was like, all right, it's an extra buck, or chips and dip. All right. But you wouldn't get a metric ton of guacamole. Since we've been able to synthesize guacamole, all of a sudden those huge scooper spoons go in. It's like, there's your green mess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the guacamole.
Maybe you go to the wrong place.
I think so. But the guac in the taco salad, there's nothing worse than fake guac.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the worst.
The worst, but it's what, look, let's, it's
tangy,
let's,
and zesty.
There's no perfect synthesizing of avocados.
Yeah.
And
you want pure.
The problem is,
we had an expert in the house.
If you go to a comedy club and you get the nacho, whatever, with the, it's always the big.
The fake,
and so
fake-ish.
All of a sudden, instead of just little dribs and drabs of the good stuff, you're getting the
dollop
of the bad
ice cream
stuff.
Scooper.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, most of it is, they call it JAW. It's powdered. It's just add water, which is why it's so disgusting. It's
nasty. I am forever befuddled.
We're in fucking California.
Mm-hmm.
I am so befuddled by when the people go to the fucking Dodger game, or even the Lakers or Clippers or whatever, and they go, I'll have the nachos. And the person takes the round, cold, I won't call them stale, but I won't call them fresh, room temperature chips out of the huge hopper, fills the plastic or cardboard army helmet with it, then goes by that weird squeeze pump thing and gives two Robert Davies.
Yep.
On the tits, on the thing. And then now it's a big question. You want the jalapenos? And it's like, these are not nachos. Yeah. These are fucking weird round bits of chips. Like these chips seem like they're made like Spam, like of many different other chips combined, like particle board.
Exactly.
I want fucking red oak. Well, I don't want particle board. And
the cheese is not cheese.
It's weird liquid stuff.
It's cheese with a Z.
Is that not how you spell cheese?
Okay. It's our fault for not burning down Dodger Stadium.
Oh, wow.
Well put.
It's our fault. Like, people go, all right, thanks for the nachos. And it's like, this is not nacho. This is weird. Monsanto got together with some company that manufactures heat shielding for the space shuttle, and they've come up with some sort of orange viscous goo that you're putting on top of the world's shittiest fucking chip. Nachos are the... They got to go... By the way, if you say to someone, I need nachos, and they just go, here you go, you're not getting nachos, because there's a part where you have to take the cheese and shred it on top of it, and it's got to slide into the pizza oven for a couple minutes.
Actual nachos at like a cantina or something are goddamn delicious with the cheese and the beans.
Served on
and
a tray, not in a bowl.
How come more people, I know we're fucking dumb, but we're not animals, right? Like,
well, technically.
Nachos... At the cantina, the chip that gets a little burnt around the outer side.
Oh, a little too close to the flame.
That's the money chip.
Dared fly a little too close to the flame. I fucking love that chip.
The Icarus chip.
The Icarus chip. It's so good. It's so satisfying. That weird move where you pull one up and another one is going, take me with you.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't know. That's like a lifeboat on the Titanic. Yeah. Should we go with both? I'll tell you what. I'll do this move where I hold them both above my head and lower them down like a rope ladder into my
Sarlacc
face.
Pit.
Right. Versus
and there's,
the Dodger Stadium round chip. And there you go.
And there's always, with the good nachos, there's always five or six perfect nachos that have a little bit, not too much, but a little bit of everything. You have one bite and you get everything in there.
And those Dodger nachos, they ain't free.
No,
they're ironically more expensive.
Yes.
And mixed with then the weird ice cream scooper, melon baller, synthesized guacamole that is the same shade of green without any variation all the way through. And it's a little too electric in its green. Yeah. And it's like, hey, we got nachos. No, you don't. You fucking retard. These are horrible. Why?
Yeah.
By the way, you're talking to a guy who loves nachos who would never order them at Dodger Stadium, same way I'd never order a hot dog because those hacks make fucking meat sticks. But why are we so, how come no one goes, hey, this is $8. I want something normal. I want something, I want to get down to Chili's or TGI Friday level on this form of food.
My guess, my theory is that maybe baseball specifically caters so much to kids. You know, people bring their kids to the game, their families to the game, and kids eat terrible food.
Yeah, I remember being nine playing a Pop Warner football and them handing me Gatorade and me just going, this ain't orange juice and it ain't water. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I don't know what the fuck this is. And I'll say the same thing about Sunny D. Like, you don't have to, just because you're nine doesn't mean you're a feral cat. You can actually enjoy things that are good.
You can taste.
Fucking, I'm pissed.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Put yourself in a better mood.
So Joel was dealing with the end of the show he'd been doing for 12 years while we're trying to get a little quality.
What's going on?
Time in. Walked through his nice big house, asked him a few things. He had no idea on any questions I'd asked him on anything.
About the house?
Kitchen cabinets. Money. Well, no. I mean, he knew this was going to be the kitchen and that was going to be the kids' room. But
when you pressed him for details?
Nothing. And then at a certain point, he was embarrassed and he said, I don't know anything. And I said, no, you've arrived.
Yeah.
You've arrived.
You don't need to know anything.
You just be funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep looking the way you look and pay for all this shit.
Keep cashing those soup checks. Answer your phone.
Somebody else is going to take care of all the fucking heavy lifting. Mm. I walked in. There's a very specific smell to a house that's two-thirds done. It's a little drywall dust, a little wood dust.
Mm-hmm. It's a good smell.
For me, it was like kind of it smells exactly like every house I worked on. And a lot of blaring ranchero music. The Hispanics were on a break on lunch, and they didn't even know who Joel was, by the way. I just went and unplugged the radio because it's louder and shit. I can't think and talk and listen to ranchero music because it's fucking horrible. But I've been a little out of it. We're talking about the jobs, and I want this represented and that represented. Building, and I'll tell you what's happened since I used to do it for a living. The Hispanics who went from the labor, the guys who did masonry, the guys that were doing kind of the dirty, grunty, heavy, you know, the Hispanic guys would come in and do the drywall, but the white guys would come in and do the cabinets and finish, you know, hanging the cabinets. You know, they would hang the doors.
The finishing touches.
Yeah, the finish carpenters. The Hispanics have worked their way up to finish now because now these are the sons of the dudes I worked with who's now they got 30 years in. Right. They're not going to keep just be digging ditches out in the backyard. Everybody Hispanic. There were 11 guys on this job there in Southern California. The white dude ain't even there anymore. There used to be the warden was holding down the fort. Those days are over.
Yeah.
It's just Hispanic dudes building. Again, to be fair to my black friends, I've never seen an Asian. I've never seen a Jew. I don't see any more white guys. And I don't see any black folk. And that's just it. And that's Southern California. And I know Spike Lee wants to show up to Joel's house and boot a couple of the Hispanics and put Rerun in there. But there's no Asians, there's no Jews either. There's no Eastern Indians. Mm-hmm. It's not their thing. It's not what they do.
No more Japanese gardeners.
No more Japanese gardeners. It's just not. Mm. But there's no black gardeners either. I don't. These guys make a nice living building Joel's house, but it's not for everybody. Mm. And Whitey ain't around either.
Interesting.
Probably getting the checks made out to him, but he ain't around. And by the way, I said, who's your architect, your designer, or whatever? And like, oh, she's blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, ladies all up in it as well because they're more into the home stuff than dudes are. Huh? The dudes do the actual heavy lifting and the building and all that kind of stuff, but the chicks more into it.
And, you know, I've also noticed that when it comes to real estate, women do more of the residential sales and men do more of the commercial sales.
Yes.
There's an emotional connection to buying a house.
They're into design. Yeah. They have more thoughts on it. Joel didn't have many thoughts on many of the stuff that was, he paid for it, but he didn't have many thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, good dude. And, X-Files, I guess, are what we can look forward to.
Did he seem bummed at all about the soup? I don't know if you can talk about it or if he wants you to talk about it or if he even had a reaction.
I think there's this feeling of anything that you do for over a decade that ends and you find out that day, there's going to be a reaction that you have as a human being.
It's part of your everyday life.
Yeah. And he said he had it down about 3 hours a week.
Wow.
So, but it's, I know that feeling of being knee deep in a major construction job and having a revenue stream fall off or go dry. It's kind of, it's kind of an insecure feeling. Mm-hmm. There's 10 guys going in this big place and the theater's not done yet and the equipment's not in. I mean, there's no Viking anything or Sub-Zero. I think we're a couple million bucks from being finished here, and it's tough to have the job that you have fall off in the middle of that job. I'm sure he'll land on his feet. And, you know, Joel's Joel. Well, he's a good guy.
And he's a good actor. I saw him recently in Deliver Us from Evil that came out last year with Eric Bana. Fucking great.
Well, I was actually sitting around eating a salad, and I don't mean that in a gay way. And I said,
we got it.
So what are we doing now? I mean, and he said, well, something. And I said, comedy, drama. And he said, don't know. I'm really thinking about it. And I thought, good for you. I don't think you have to do comedy just because that's kind of what we know you from or where you're. He's a good actor. He's a talented actor. And he certainly could do drama if he wanted to do drama. And there's certainly many Michael Keaton-esque cases and people like that have come before him that have made it quite easily. It's comedians in general are oftentimes playing the role of a comedian anyway, so they're really just good actors that are playing that role, and in their hearts are oftentimes more serious and even times morose people, so he can do whatever he wants.
I love it when Adam breaks down those movie scenes, especially that particular one with Robert Davi and Showgirls.
If you want to hear him break down all of Showgirls with Huell Hauser, Dana Gould in character as Huell Hauser, legal addition there, Adam Carolla, Base Cable Commentary, Showgirls, it's available, iTunes, Apple Music, whatever you want to call it nowadays, Google Play, anywhere they sell stuff, ringtones, albums, you can find it, Basic Cable Commentary, Showgirls, Adam and Dana Gould, hilarious.
Yeah, we know how funny those two are. We've played many of their clips right here on this very show. And,
sadly, only like probably 2 or 3% of the audience has ever heard that. It's very successful, it's just, but for the way things sell for audio albums, people just like commentaries, like how do I sync this up? People just miss out on the funniest stuff because they think it'd be too intimidating to fire it up and sync it. It's not.
It's not. And I will say this, even if you don't want to watch Showgirls with it, it's still a hilarious listen. It's Adam and Huell Hauser.
Yeah, it is great. He's a character the entire time. He does not break. It is nonstop hilarity. And if you don't want to buy the tracks, I heard that if you're a member of the Carolla Drinks, what's the monthly nut, you get to the first Adam Carolla Base Cable Commentary for Roadhouse for free this month.
See? We're giving you guys the deals. Also, speaking of deals, I want to give you a deal on Tommy John. Tommy John is the secret to staying sweat-free right now. It's so hot. And we need that ultra breathable underwear and bras and loungewear. Well, what you gotta do is check out Tommy John. They got that cool cotton underwear for men and women, and it's like having your own on-body air conditioning, right, Gio?
Especially if you're in California right now and you don't actually can't use your air conditioner because of rolling brownouts, you better make sure you got that cool cotton.
That's so true. Just have it on you right now. You're not wasting any energy, and you're nice and cool. Upgrade to Tommy John today with enhanced super breathable designs. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/classics to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. All right, we broke down some movies. Now it's time to take a look at music. Now, for our newer listeners, Adam, we all know how Adam feels about DJ Khaled, but before he was making fun of DJ Khaled, he's making fun of Kanye West, and specifically his use of autotune, his very questionable performances, particularly on Saturday Night Live, and we got one right here.
And this one from Adam Carolla Show 1264, featuring Titus Welliver, David Wilde, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. And this portion is just David, Allison, and Brian. This is from February 2014. Adam's going off on Kanye West and his auto-tune. There's a bit about personal motivation, and then his family ziplining Catalina while he's in the city of Compton filming Catch a Contractor. A very classic little bit of the show from when David Wilde was coming on weekly with over 100-plus appearances. Check it out.
And now, once you know his personality, his name should really be David Mild. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Good stuff. Listen,
Welcome to the show, though, David.
Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for telling a friend. Thank you so much for all the support and all that you do, such as coming out and seeing us in Vegas, Treasure Island, this Friday. See how the fudge is packed. That is at 9 p.m. and Joe Coy up on stage. So we will float on with the Froaters. Bung Lu Su going to be joining us. Also, Gilly's Saloon, I will be signing at Treasure Island before the show, 7 o'clock. So come by and get your mangria on and say hi. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
Hey, man. Sup?
Paul Medico wanted that on Twitter. He used two hashtags. One said top drop. The other said hashtag bring back Larry.
Mm. Well, we got to get Larry in for our...
Hey, man. Sup?
Get Larry in for our hypothetical road trip. David Wild here, Wild About Music. Good to see you, David.
Good to see you. Or is it David Mild?
It's good stuff. All right.
He had to run a shitload of those for Dawson Left Town. So.
Just very quickly on the music department, before we get started, David is here. I was watching TMZ yesterday because I'm a thinking man. And...
Thinking man zone?
There's certain things that I watch, and they're good for when I skip rope. And TMZ, when I skip rope, is good because I go for about 25 minutes, and that's about the length. It's little these little bite-sized pieces. I don't know why, but when you're doing something that's sort of methodical and endless and boring as shit. Like, there are times when I'm skipping rope where I look at the clock and it'll say 6:12, and I'll look at a clock at the clock a long time after that, and it still says 6:12, and I'll go, I'm supposed to do 25 minutes of this.
Do you do the thing that I do? God, I hope I'm not the only one. Where you look away and you're like, I'm not going to look back before 6:13. If I do, it's bad luck, and then you look back and it's still 6:12.
I don't do the bad luck. I just go, you're a sucker. And then I look back and literally it's been 40 seconds and I'm bored as shit. And TMZ is a good show because it's just little nuggets. It's the Chex Mix of TV shows.
It's the entertainment equivalent of that song that we play when we do the news, weather news, that thing.
Yeah. You don't want to watch Barry Lyndon.
It's the entertainment equivalent
for instance.
Of that.
You just don't want to see some long, drawn-out something. You just want little bite-sized morsels.
What if Kubrick directed an episode of TMZ? Put it all together. Imagine the long tracking shots to another douchebag saying something shallow about a celebrity you don't give a shit about.
Well, most of the time I don't even have the sound up. I just put my earbuds in and listen to little Graham Parker, skip my rope, watch the TV. But yesterday I heard Kanye West up there, and he went on one of his Kanye West-esque rants up on stage, which is fine. I have no problem with that. I kind of enjoy that part of life. But the part that was super ironic, and the reason I'm glad David Wild is here, is at the beginning of the first 4 or 5 seconds, he was doing this thing where he's going, you can't stop my voice, but I'll let you hear what that sounded like. Unless somebody spills a beer on your Macintosh, we can stop your voice. Like, so
just
little
close the Macintosh.
Little ironic when you're going, you can't stop my voice, but it's all filtering through a computer, and we can't basically hear your voice, or the fact that that could be my son doing the exact same thing at that particular time. Like, I'd say we could, or we could certainly replicate it if we had a fucking dustbuster and a computer.
Hit the delete key. That stopped it pretty quickly.
Isn't it ironic? Well, first off, why the part where – here's my thing in life. When you're on stage, I want that person on stage to be doing something. Either you're a Chinese acrobat or you're sucking your own cock or you're both. Because really, if you're looking for a guy who can do it, it's that
That's
dude.
That's who it would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Careful, I'm setting the bar pretty high for this Vegas show.
We'll have them all out there.
Or I just want you out there playing the shit out of the piano or looking like Slash on the guitar or just belting out a song with incredible pipes. But yeah,
doing something that you can't do.
I feel me, this is me on a bottle of Mangria and disoriented. Like, this can be done by anybody you know. I don't, why filter it? I understand there's parts of shitty songs that it crops up in, but why when you're just going a cappella, why has this come up?
Because I think he's a paradox. He's a great bullshit artist. He is both a bullshitter and a blowhard and a really, really talented record maker.
But does he sing?
No, he's not the greatest rapper technically.
What?
He's not a great vocalist.
With those pipes? Let me hear that again.
No.
Are you kidding me?
You think that's easy, David Wilde? You do it.
Yeah.
You can't stop my voice. You can't stop my voice.
You would need a Roomba and a Mr. Microphone in order to recreate this sound. Come on. Take that back.
He was a behind-the-scenes guy who clearly had the ego that needed to be in front and on stage. And the world has run with it. I think you've made a good point.
He's clearly a talented producer.
Oh, hugely talented.
I mean, whether or not he's a talented performer.
It's just ironic that he's saying you can't stop my voice when we can't hear his fucking voice, right?
Yes.
All right. But anyway, he goes on to then go on a slight little.
It is odd that we've constructed a world, especially in music, where people are so heavily rewarded for, you know, making great songs or popular songs or, well, good selling songs, but then they're ironically forced to step out on the stage to promote said songs or to sell tickets, and it's like they have no business really kind of performing in front of an audience.
Well, we do
I'm
have
not just talking about Kanye West, about a whole
but
slew
where
of people.
Where does it end? Like, I just get out there with a player piano and you pretend to play,
just
or
get out there with your CD and hit play.
Oh, yeah, or like a fucking cello that plays itself. I mean, someone's going to invent electric guitar where I can just plug in Jimi Hendrix and then I can. But it's not me. I don't have that talent. I mean, I thought the whole deal is you're either touched by the hand of God, that sort of Whitney Houston kind of thing, or you're John Popper, which is you didn't get laid for the first 37 years of your life. And all you did was play the fucking harp in your basement of your mom's place in Wisconsin. You got so fucking good at this instrument. Now it's just like, auto, syntho, auto-tune. Get up there.
Well,
do your thing.
Britney Spears is, to me, sort of the end of it. Like, there's someone who was a huge star a few years ago, still, you know, something of a star, but she can't really sing. She kind of could dance, but now, you know, she probably screwed up herself so much on so many, you know, narcotics that she can't do that either. Yet, what people pay to see her for what?
Well, the insane part is you go, oh, Britney Spears, sweetie, your career's been over for 10 years. Like, Britney Spears made $51 million last year.
Has a residency at Caesar's Palace.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, she literally made $50 million last year. I don't know how it works.
I mean, I think there are a lot of people who just when they fall in love with an artist, seeing them live just means going, having a communal experience, and hearing the music in a gigantic group. They're not thinking about how much am I really watching the person perform
it. I guess so.
I want Britney Spears to be there when I listen to my Britney Spears records.
Yeah.
So she can play them and
yeah, I saw her do. It's really insulting. Like, it insults the intelligence of the audience because I remember seeing her one time. I just turned on HBO specials, like Britney live from Rio de Janeiro. She had like the headphone microphone thing on. And she did a move. She did all the choreography and all the stuff. And she did this one move where she just ran up a flight of like 40 stairs. And she's like, chug, chug, just chugging up the stairs. But the music didn't miss a beat right. And the voice didn't. And you can't run up a flight of stairs and just stay in perfect pitch without a breath or out. Just that down as you step off the next stair and up to the next, especially when you get up to your 85th fucking stair where there's not a little inhale or something. I, by the way, when I see a live show, and I know she's not capable of this, but I love it. Back to our buddy John Popper. I like it when he does his long riff on his harp and then pulls it aside, and you hear that breath where he has to reset himself for now the vocals. Like, that's part of what we're watching here.
I agree. I like the imperfection of now let me reset myself and get my breath and start over again, because like we all thought, I don't know if we all thought, but I thought the Pink's performance at the Grammys was pretty impressive. She's doing the twirly whirly thing on the ribbons and all that. But she never missed a beat and was never out of pitch. And it's like, she must be incredibly out of breath doing that. And I'm like, she's not singing. And Chrissy's like, she's doing a great job. Leave her alone. And I'm like, no, she is doing a great job up there, but she's not singing. Make no mistake.
Yeah.
I remember going to see Alice in Chains many years ago. And mm-hmm. as we were leaving, my friend Justin said, that was so good. They sounded just like they do on the album. And I knew exactly what he meant. But it was this moment of thinking, it's weird. Is that what we should want? We should want to hear live versions of everything that are different, except you don't really, your ears don't really enjoy hearing something different and new for the first time.
If I know that what they're doing is what they're doing, even if it sounds almost exactly the same, but if it's happening in front of me, I'm okay. As far as Pink goes, somebody's got to bring a pellet gun to the next show and see if she's really doing it or not, because she can only absorb so many pellets before she cries out.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Who's that hero going to be?
David Wild would know.
I think his name is David Wild.
I think she was. I do think she was.
Oh,
stop
it.
She tours that way. You know, she's done this sort of acrobatics in her tour. I think she does.
Well, it doesn't mean she doesn't have to loop it on the tour.
There might be some help. I don't know.
Can we just leave it? She did a very impressive thing and leave it at that. No more needs to be said.
There was like a Janet Jackson show I saw where there was this horrible moment where they accidentally put the mic on. Because I think a lot of those stand, a lot
that
of those,
is, that
was a terrible
horrible.
Live accident. Mm-hmm. Some of these shows, I don't think the mic, but I can't tell. Last night, did you see U2 on Jimmy Fallon show on the debut?
No.
It looked to me like it didn't sound live to me.
You mean like one of the bucka buckas was off a little? It went like bucka 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 instead of bucka 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 bucka. Was it one of those?
I don't know. It was at the top of the Rockefeller Center, you know, on the roof.
One of the buckas was off?
The buckas were, yeah, there was a half a bucka missing. No, there were no
buckas
missing.
Which part, the ba or the ka?
Oh, you're saying it was too perfect. The
buckets
were too in sync.
Yeah, it didn't feel it felt too perfect to me.
Interesting. I think ultimately Milli Vanilli got busted with that, right?
Oh, big
I mean
time.
That's
there was
how
nothing.
They
had never even heard their record. They were unaware their record was out.
I like it when they went on Arsenio's show
to prove
and went like, "Yeah, you don't think we're the real Milli Vanilli girl?" And they're like, "See?"
It belted it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad. Tragic.
I was really crestfallen when I realized how often performers who are dancing around are lip syncing. I just think it's right, David Watt?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, they just have to be lip syncing always because you can't sing when you're moving around that much, right?
Right. Almost always there's help because it doesn't, you can't.
Help or to the exclusion of you?
I think they've gotten very sophisticated. So sometimes it's literally, there is a tape playing, the mic is open, it's a certain percentage, it's blended, auto-tuned.
Uh-huh.
To make it all
when you drop out of whatever, the tape picks it up,
right,
fills it in.
And a lot of these big events like Super Bowls and all this stuff, there's such pressure to not, you know, to have everything. I mean, I find it personally depressing on some shows I do where you have world-class musicians faking it. You know, drummers trying to almost appear to hit their drums and things like that. It's sad when
you
see it.
Well, Kanye does not fake his fake music.
He's all real about that fake music.
His ego is 100% real.
And anyway, then he went into this rant, which Gary has.
I can see Ebola boxes. When you write your headlines for your tabloids, when you try to make me look like a maniac or an animal. Because you're afraid of interracial relationships.
I didn't see that coming.
Is that
what? What is Kim Kardashian?
It's nice when they zig when you think they're going to zag.
By the way, if she hooked up with Johnny Whitaker, I would be very upset. He's your redheaded kid from Family Affair.
Oh, Johnny Whitaker.
He's on the tip of everyone's tongue.
I know him as Jonathan Whitaker.
Find a young Johnny Whitaker. My point is this.
You mentioned Uncle Bill meeting
Uncle
Kanye?
Bill. No, that would not be a good day.
A very special episode.
No, I'm saying if Kim Kardashian hooked up with a redheaded guy, I would be confused.
Oh, not a brother.
I
show me dates.
I would not accept her.
Gotcha. You're like, what's
dating
up?
dating a white guy. Mm-hmm. There's young Johnny Whitaker.
Very young Bonaducci.
Yeah. Very fair. Very redheaded. That's all. I think we accept it. Do we not? I mean, here's the part. Barbara Walters going... So when Kanye attacks a cameraman in front of LAX, is that being reported by Barbara Walters on The View because she can't take an interracial relationship, even though she had one herself in the 60s?
It's ridiculous. People have plenty of problems with the two of them. It has nothing to do with their race.
I always say that at a certain point, whatever anyone's feelings are about race, if you become, you know, Michael Jordan and you're a Bulls fan and you're racist, you're still rooting for Michael Jordan. He's Michael Jordan.
Yeah. He's wearing your colors.
There's a term called he's one of the good ones.
I think Kanye at this point is now the international symbol for douchebag. He just is. He's just every. I'll tell you, like, he annoyed. I remember doing a rehearsal with him and Jamie Foxx for a number for the Grammys. And like Jamie Foxx pulled me over and goes, does this guy not know I'm like an Oscar winner? Why is he fucking talking to me like this? He just condescends to the world.
And the reality is a guy like Jamie Foxx, that's a ball of talent.
That guy
is an amazing talent. And I never begrudge the amazing talent. Mm. So whether they're it'd be nice if everyone was cool, but whether you're a musician, an actor, whatever kind of artist you are, I will give you room to be crazy and or a douchebag or eccentric if you're a super ball of talent.
Or if you can dance.
Kanye thinks he is.
Right.
Also, I was going to say, I don't know about Barbara Walters' politics, but odd to go after TMZ and E for having a problem with interracial relationships. I know a few people over at both, and I wouldn't call them neocons.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Maybe he knows it'll get picked up.
Barbara Walters, I semi-famously had an affair with a black, congressman or something.
One of the good ones.
That's right. Back in like the 60s or something.
It was a Massachusetts senator, wasn't it? Edward Brooke.
Her vagina was at the tip of the racial equality spear. It
sounds so uncomfortable.
Many of those marches through Selma. Just the vagina. She was back in New York. The point is, you pick three entities that couldn't, and two entities and one human being that could not be further away from caring about whether you're having an interracial relationship at this point. But the crazed narcissism of deciding that the world, there's two types of narcissism. There's the, just general grandiosity of I'm great, but there's the even larger one, which is I got a target on my back. Think about all the people that do that. Everyone's coming after me.
Delusions of grandeur and paranoia.
Yes, they're gunning for me. When you're number one, everyone's gunning for you all the time. That everyone's coming after me. They want what I have. That's what
that
is.
It's like what Allison said, though. We don't even know what Kim Kardashian is. We don't even know what relation he's –
interracial mix
he's
this is.
Entering. Yeah.
Edward Brooke, by the way, senator from Massachusetts, 1967 to 1979. A decent run with Babs.
Did you guys notice when Kanye said Barbara Walters, it sounded not unlike when DFG gets excited?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's racist.
Yes.
None of this on Kanye, but that what you just said is terribly racist. Wow.
He did. It was a weird Barbara Walters, but maybe he was.
Barbara Walters.
I'm old Pops Corolla. I just feel like I want to go to a concert and see a band. I just don't want to see a guy standing there doing the auto-tune thing. Had this little tidbit. Always look forward to this. So yesterday I was bitching and moaning about heading to South Central when the family was heading to Catalina to go ziplining. For me, it's always the contrast. And helicopter to Catalina, then ziplining through Catalina. And I was ziplining through South Central doing my TV show, stuck in a bathroom all day. And then I came here. We did the show and worked on the dock for a few minutes and packed it up. Got home after about a 13-hour day. Walked into Sonny's room and the space heater just buzzing away. Just buzzing away. And I thought, fantastic. This thing has been fucking going for the last 15 and a half hours, heating a room. Actually, it was Natalia's room.
It's expensive and a little bit dangerous, right?
It's everything. And in terms of the kilowatt burners, and again, when she changed my family name to the kilowatts, because they kill that wattage, the, you know, leaving the light on in the bathroom is a draw. You know, picture that little meter and that thing that turns around and thing. Everything that has a heating element in it is just a big time draw.
It's a multiplier.
That's a big electric draw. And the way I'm wired, pardon the pun, knowing that thing was on all night the night before, and then everyone clear. I cleared out of the house early because I had to get to Watts to stand in a fucking bathroom. But then everyone else cleared out of the house to go to Catalina. And by the time I got home at 8 o'clock at night, it was still buzzing away. Soon as Natalia walked in the front door about 9:30, I said, Natalia, your space heater's on in your room. She said, good. I like it toasty in there. I said, okay. Then I also just started looking at the device, and I realized it doesn't really have a red light that says when it's on. And then I started fantasizing. You guys tell me if this thing exists. I started fantasizing about a light. It'd be a real, you know, sort of Ronco special. But I'm fantasizing about, let's just say, a dome with an adhesive back, 9-volt battery, and a red light or something in it. And you can just stick it to your ceiling, and it can be like a smoke detector. The size of a smoke detector, big red light on it, and just sticks to your ceiling. And when something is on in your room, I don't know why I need to have these fantasies. All I do is tell everyone to shut everything off before they leave the room, but I've now realized that's an impossibility.
It should just be a dollar sign that lights up.
It's a good point. Should be a picture of me being held by my feet and shaken by a utility company while change falls out of my pocket. One of those moves. But my fantasy is that this thing lights up. Well, actually, my real fantasy is that I can just express this feeling to human beings I live with, and then they would just shut things off before they left.
Yeah, let's work on something that could happen, yeah, though.
But okay, that's out the window. I mean,
let's live in this universe, Adam.
The part that always drives me insane is there is a way to get everybody to do exactly what I'm speaking of. It's have them pay for it for 1 month, and then they will do it, which always drives me insane because I'm not the kind of guy who wants to kick the crutches out from the guy with polio and go, come on, fucking dance me a jig. Come on, you gimp dad, dance me a jig. It's like, can't be done. But I do know that all I'd have to do is say to Natalia, hey, Natalia, you know that American girl dirigible you guys are looking for with the battery-operated fans and whatever? Yeah. Keep that space heater off for 1 month and I'll get it for you, and then it would be done. It's in everybody. This is the part of life that drives me insane. Anyone can do anything. They just essentially choose not to because...
What's in it for them?
Well, yeah.
And that was a nice little slice of life from Adam's life back in February 2014. And, yeah, he had that Catch a Contractor show on Spike. And
3 seasons.
Yeah, it was a great show.
I miss it.
But he, obviously, you know how busy he gets. And as you heard in that, he got to miss out on some nice family zip lining. All right, before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody once again about Geico. Geico has a great deal right now. They're offering to save you an extra 15% on car, motorcycle, and
RV insurance.
That's right. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? I'm talking an extra 15% credit. You got to get it. Oh, that rhymed. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico and save when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right. Gio, let's get some Joe Coy into the show.
I love Joe Coy. He's one of the most hilarious additions to the podcast. And I'd say the past 5 or 6 years when he started coming on regularly, he's one of the mainstays, one of my favorite parts of the show.
Me too. I know him very well thanks to this show. And I love it because he and I can relate to a lot of stuff just because of our culture, and we come from the same, a lot of the same backgrounds as far as what our parents did and how they treated us and what they wanted from us. So we could really relate, and he really related when he found out that my mom was pretty unhappy that I didn't become a nurse.
Adam Carolla Show, 1783. This portion of the episode is Joe Coy, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop, along with Adam, March of 2016. Adam finally took a shower after several months of not bathing, which is kind of a big deal. They get into that briefly. They discuss the Dr. Drew email scam, where he was supposedly trapped overseas and needed money, and Adam's slow to understand what happened. With like everybody else knew what was going on. Adam's like, I have no idea what happened. By the time Adam figures it out, it was all over. And then Joe Coy's in character is Chris Maxipata's mom, disappointed in her son's career choices. Check it out.
And now, he hadn't showered in so long that when he finally did, it prolonged California's drought another 3 years. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, and no choice but to get it on, mandate, get it on. Thank you guys for tuning in, and quickly, yes, a shower was taken after 3 months. My wife was in her shower for 10 minutes. I got up, took my first shower in 3 months, and was back on the sofa while she was still in her shower.
I just threw up in my mouth.
So I literally,
this is the most humble of brags.
It is. I rinsed myself off after 3 months. Joe Coy.
Hello, sir.
In studio. Gina Grad.
Hello.
As well. Hello to you. And Bald Brian.
What I do now.
Okay, so we got to get into Dr. Drew.
Got a distress call from Drew this morning.
I got two.
I walked through this life trying to figure out technology, and I feel like an inner city single mother whose young child was gunned down in gun violence. Oh. And in the sense that a gun is, you know, it's your best friend in the hands of a cop when there's you're in a liquor store and somebody pulls a knife on, you want a gun and a cop and a guy next to you. On the other hand, there's drive-by shootings. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. Good and evil.
As far as technology goes, I'm just a single mother of color who's lost another son to gun violence. I know these devices can be used for good, these phones and computers and things like that.
How many sons do you have? You lost another son to gun violence.
Another son to gang violence.
How many sons do you have?
Well, he's down to one.
By the way, quietly the most racist thing we ever do is when you talk to a black guy and he's like, well, I have two sisters. They're both never saw their 30th birthday. And then I got a brother that's in jail. And we go, well, how about that? When it's a white guy, it's like, what the fuck is going on? What do you mean? What do you? No follow-ups. Yes, my entire family, well, my dad, his dad, and his great-grandfather are all in the same cell. And they're actually with a zygote that hasn't been born yet. Okay, well, there you go.
Okay.
How about that? Pass a potato salad, would you, Lucius? This is awesome. It's the most racist thing is that that's a white guy. We'd go, what's going on?
Yeah.
We just go, so okay, true. Okay, all righty then. Well, you got to roll with it, don't you?
Yeah.
So, this is technology. I mean, seriously, like, when there are guys in the NFL that are like, three of my brothers were killed by gun violence before they got out of high school. And you're like, yeah, man, it's rough.
Tough break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are three I knew.
I had a niece that got tetanus once. So,
I
feel your pain.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah. So, the technology. Well, first thing I get is I get up this morning and there's an email from Eric Stone Street from Modern Family. And it doesn't say anything. It says no subject.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And
no text in the body of the email either.
Right. So it's just an email from Eric Stone Street. Although we sent him over a nice bottle of scotch after getting the tour, the table read. Yeah. And so I'm assuming he got around to it or he's thanking me or something, but there's nothing. And instead, because I don't know what the hell's going on, I just start reading the email that's underneath it. Gary, you got to get my phone now. So then you read the email that's underneath it, and it says, me and Susan
are in
Naples or something.
Yeah, I have it right here if you want to hear it.
Oh, let's hear it.
How are you? Hi, I am in a terrible situation right now and will need your urgent help.
All right, now realize I read.
This is from Drew.
It's difficult for me. Well, wait a minute. Who brought up Drew?
What do you mean? All you said was the email beneath it.
Right, but I'm... All right. Eric Stone Street sent me this. Right. it'll be revealed. Well, it is revealed. But it's from Drew, is what I'm saying. But I'm just reading because I'm me.
Okay.
With no idea what's happening.
All I know is Eric Stonestreet's in a world of trouble.
Oh, okay.
And he's reaching out to me because all I have is an email from Eric Stonestreet. Okay. And whatever text comes at under it, in my feeble mind.
I see. And you didn't realize that it was a forward or probably,
no, it
right?
just said Eric Stonestreet, no subject.
Gotcha.
And then when you click it on, because there's nothing underneath it, I just went. And it makes it difficult for me to read on my iPhone because I drag my finger on it and move to the next page constantly.
So you guys can look up here. What Eric did was took a screenshot of his email and just sent just that picture to Adam with no comment.
Yeah. No, it's
very hard to see.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Do you want to hear the rest of it?
Yes, but keep in mind, I think Eric Stonestreet is out of the country and in a lot of trouble.
Seeing this.
Susan and I are in Cyprus at the moment, and I just misplaced my bag containing...
Because I'm reading in chunks, I hear Susan and I need your help, and I think, okay, he's having a trouble with his girlfriend. Yeah. He went on vacation in Europe with his girlfriend, and they're having some kind of blowout, and he's reaching out to me for some advice or something. I don't know where we're at this point. Drew is not on the table because his name is not
in the image Eric sent. Drew's name is more or less cut off. You can't tell who it's from.
Even if it was front and center, in my mind, I'm still reading an email from Eric Stonestreet.
I misplaced my bag containing all my vital items, phone, and money in a taxi. I am trying to sort things out with the necessary authorities, comma. I may need a little help from you. Now it is signed, Drew Pinsky, MD.
That's the part. Now there's the part where you hear some skidding noises coming out of my ass and smoke, a little puff of smoke come out of one of my ears. Because I'm like, what, Drew? Oh, Drew. Oh, Susan. Oh, Drew's wife. Oh, this is Drew. Oh, Eric's... telling me Drew's in trouble now.
Like
he's forwarding me this thing saying, yeah, this Drew's falling down a well. What's that boy? What's that fake gay man? We got a real gay guy coming in here and a couple of fuse. Milo, but the point is I'm now going, Drew and Susan. Now, Drew does travel a lot, and he goes to Europe. And, you know, he'll bring his wife out of town, but now he wants something. He's lost his toiletry bags. What does he need from me?
Did any party suspect a scam?
No. The way I work with everything and everybody is face value all the time until... Now, I do have a thing where I want to... I do study patterns, and I am curious why somebody is something or something, and I do a ton of that. When Gina's 10 minutes late, and Gary's going, I guess she's just running late, and I go, did she send you a text saying she was running late? And he goes, no, but I guess she's just running late. I go, no, she thinks the show starts at 2, not at 1. She would have sent a text if she was running late. That's Gina's pattern. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't ask that about my buddy Ray. It's a pattern-related thing. Joe Coy is always 10 minutes early to this podcast. If he was late and didn't communicate, I would assume that he thought it was a different day. He was dead. Something was going. Sake poisoning. Something is going on. So I just looked like, Drew's in trouble. What? Mm-hmm. And I started to sort of go, something feels weird. Like I didn't have a sense of urgency. Like, I got to get down to the place and you know, FedEx him out a care package or anything.
Send my routing number.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that. I was just kind of like, all right, I'll show up to the shop where the smart guys are, and I'll throw the phone at Matt and ask him what the hell's going on. And he, sure enough, somebody hacked into Drew's thing, sent out thousands of these emails. And then...
undeliverable Jeff Conaway at Gmail.
Oh, money.
And he sent all of them out. To point, I guess they went out about 5 a.m. or 5 a.m. our time, but that's when Drew's phone started ringing and emails started lighting up everyone was coming out. So I guess Eric was just doing the decent thing.
Yeah, he's like, what's up? Basically saying, what's up with this, without saying, what's up with this.
I think he was saying, I don't know. Gary, was he asking what's up, or is he going, there's a scam?
He was saying, check your boy. Like, give your boy a heads up.
Oh, because, yeah.
He probably suspected. Drew. Like, I don't think he knows Drew well enough to necessarily reach out and go, your email's been hacked. But he knows you well enough for you to call Drew and say, hey, you know about this.
I treat these kinds of situations like I treat horrible car wrecks
on the 405, which is, should I pull over? And then I think, I bet somebody called 911. And then I turn up to John Hyatt and move on. Crank up the air. Crank up the. Someone must have got to this by now.
Yeah. I can't be the first.
It's 10:30 in the morning. Somebody must have got to this.
In this particular case, you were absolutely right, because I texted Susan Pinsky and she said, we know. Trust me, we know.
Yeah. So then I said, what the hell goes on with this? And then Max Apata chimed in and said, yeah, my grandmother recently just sent $1,000 to one of these people.
Oh, no.
How does she even know, Drew? See, this is why I don't believe it.
She got a. I got a voicemail from my aunt, her daughter, saying, hey, Grandma just got a voicemail saying that your brother was in trouble in the Dominican Republic.
A voicemail?
Yeah, she got a voicemail saying, my brother used my brother's name and said he was in trouble in the Dominican Republic. But I got to the message late, so when I called back and said that he's not there, she already gave $1,000.
Oh, poor
through MoneyGram, already accepted, Adam, long gone.
Adam, I am going to speak on behalf of Filipino old women.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a true story, because my mom and all the other moms that are Filipino, they think that if they give money, they get into heaven. It's a very firm belief.
Okay. A little selfish.
It's a little selfish, but it's very true. My mom donates.
Dear Mrs.
Write
Joe
that down.
Yeah. Dear Mrs.
So if you're gonna hack into anyone's phones, old Filipino women, you're gonna
make
a ton of money.
Oh, no,
a ton.
Yeah,
there's definitely $50, $1,000. It doesn't matter. They know that they're getting into heaven.
Oh,
wow, sure. They buy their way into heaven.
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, ask a Filipino old woman.
You know all those family tree services that go back to 500 years, and then they tell you, well, turns out you're actually 33% African American.
I did not know that.
And you know, you find out that you thought you're English, you're actually Dutch or Irish, or it's all these discoveries. I can now mark off Filipino from any Corolla family member. There's not a drop of your DNA. There's not. I know. I do not need to consult with the experts or give a urine sample.
Save your money, Ancestry.com.
I'm going process of elimination. All right. Next, show me proud people, because I'll get rid of that one, too.
American Indian.
Yeah.
Right. Fought with ferocity. Check. Family oriented. Out. I'm going to limit it down to just, is there a drunk nationality where that's actually the nationality? Where, like, the flag just has a guy wearing a lampshade? There's a knocked over bong. The crest is a spilt bong.
And a lazy boy.
And a cot. Yeah.
It's a woman under some covers. All you see is her feet.
Right. Z's coming out.
It's two girls. One's hunched over. The other one's holding her hair.
Yeah. Well, we know. All right. So I know I don't have any Filipino in me, but that's true. And also, Chris said the side of the family doesn't talk to. I don't know what that meant. Why aren't you talking to the...
Because he's Filipino.
They wanted him to be a nurse,
Filipinos don't
and he
talk.
Devastated them.
Yeah, he's disappointed.
Yeah, they're not happy with where I am right now.
Uh-uh. Really?
No,
Chris.
That's
because you're doing the radio with Adam?
No, I got a picture with Manny Pacquiao here, and I'm totally cool with my family all over.
I guarantee that's how his mom talks to him.
Yeah, let's hear his mom.
Why are you still doing shows with that Adam guy?
The
car guy.
You know I love you, but I don't want to be a nurse.
Oh, you love me?
I do.
But you're doing those radio things?
It's a podcast.
Yeah, radio.
I listen. No. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. What is
it? It's like a radio.
That sounds stupid.
It's like a radio show, but
it's
for the computer.
If it's a radio show, it would be called a radio show.
Okay, well, let's move past this. I write songs. I play...
I want to hear it. Is it on the show?
Yes. We don't play it on the show.
Then why are you on the show?
Okay. Adam
That's
is
all I'm
a very.
You.
You know, listen. Adam is
Do you
a
have
very
health insurance?
Decent. What?
Do you have health insurance?
No. He's not that good.
Providing health insurance
for
you?
I think he may have gotten something this year.
So
I'm in good health.
If you get sick, who's taking you to the doctor?
Well, obviously.
Is Adam?
I know all roads lead to the nursing station, Mother.
That's what I'm getting
I understand.
Right now. That's
and
what
you're
I'm
not going to rest
if
until I wear beige shoes with two Velcro straps over the top of them. But I want to wear normal tennis shoes, and I want to play in a rock and roll band.
Tennis shoes.
You're
30 years old. You're wearing tennis shoes?
Yeah, we wear tennis shoes.
Do you play tennis?
No, I don't.
Exactly.
I'm not tall enough to see over the net.
Who is this Adam?
Adam Carolla.
Adam Carolla.
Corolla.
Adam Carl?
Carolla.
Carlal?
Carolla.
Carallalas?
He's quite famous.
I've never heard of him.
He's pretty famous.
I've never heard of him.
Ask Dad if he's heard.
One second.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla. I never heard of him. It's nobody.
No.
He's never heard of him.
You sure? He's pretty popular.
I've never heard of him.
Okay. Ask
Tell him that. Tell him I've never heard of him.
Ask Dad if he's heard of the Man Show. Maybe he'll know.
Man Show? Uh-oh. See, Chris? No, he's never heard of that.
All right, but okay, you know Jimmy Kimmel?
Well, I've heard of Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, so Mom, you know Jimmy.
He's very handsome.
Yeah, okay, so you know Jimmy Kimmel.
He's very handsome, he's famous, Matt Damon, he's always on the show.
Yeah, ask Dad if he's
heard. That Mexican guy, yeah. I've watched that show all the time.
Yeah,
very
okay,
funny.
Well, good.
Adam Carolla? I have no idea.
Okay, well, ask Dad.
I have no idea, okay. I'm trying so hard.
I'll bet
Toyota?
You Dad.
Toyota
no,
Corolla?
No, he's a podcast. He's a pioneer. He's a pioneer.
He discovered San Francisco?
No. Not he's that kind of, not an old-timey like, pioneer.
Like gold?
Like a
he
gold?
He has gold?
Gold? Like not like a prospector. No, not like Lewis and Clark.
He's not Lewis and Clark and Adam?
No, he's a modern-day. He's a modern-day podcasting pioneer. They call him the Podfather.
What the fuck is that?
Podfather. The father of podcasting. I look up to him.
Of course, you're sure.
I quietly worship him.
You have to look up to everyone. You're 4 foot one.
All
I'm taller than you.
Okay. Ask Dad if he's heard of Jimmy Kimmel.
Your guitar is taller than you.
It's oversized, so it makes me seem smaller in comparison.
Just crazy
it's one of the
that you have such
ones.
A large guitar.
All right. I didn't call.
Use a ukulele.
Mom, I didn't call to talk about my guitar. All right, ask Dad.
Oh, your cousins have ukuleles.
Ask Dad if he's heard of Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, one moment, okay.
Yeah.
This is all too real.
See Jimmy Kimmel. Uh-oh, Lecho. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's slapping. He loves
him. Yeah, he likes Jimmy Kimmel.
He thinks he is so funny.
Well, you... Okay.
And then one thing I ask about... Alam mo ba si Corolla? No, he only knows Toyota.
Okay, he doesn't know.
And then
he jumped
right, in the air.
Right. Okay, I like the commercial.
Yeah, he jumped in the air and said Toyota.
That's amusing.
Corolla.
Does he know Dr. Drew? Because that's one of Adam's other partners.
I,
oh, you
I
know he knows
that.
You know? Oh,
I
you
to
like
that.
Dr. Drew?
I really subscribe to that.
You listen to the pod, Dr.
I listen
Drew.
To his radio.
Okay,
show.
So Dad knows. Ask Dad if he knows.
Listener of the
okay,
Dr. Drew.
This is good. Ask Dad if he knows Drew. Though.
One moment. He's up. he said, yeah, he gets through everyday life with Dr. Drew.
Every day?
Everyday life. He always
every
has a
day.
Question. Yes.
Every day.
But you, no one has heard.
No.
Nobody.
No one knows Adam Carolla,
nobody
huh?
on this, in here, any Carollas, Toyota, that's the only
okay,
one.
So, Mom, I'm... You're huge Jimmy Kimmel. You and Dad are both huge Jimmy Kimmel fans.
God. We love Jimmy.
Okay. And you're huge Dr. Drew
fan. Oh, my
fan.
God. He and he's very handsome.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very handsome. He's he has a nice body.
But you don't know his partner.
He has a nice old
You
body.
Don't know their old partner, Adam Carolla. I work for him.
Just one more time. Who?
Adam.
Adam.
Carolla.
Carallas.
Carolla.
Carolla.
Not Carallas. Carolla.
Adam Carallas. Carolla.
You know, Mom, I'm going to have to get back to work pretty soon because Adam wants to know why. Adam, hold on a second. Let me. I'm talking to my mom. Yeah, she's a big fan.
No, I'm not.
Hold on, Mom. He's sitting
on
the sofa.
No, he needs to know the truth. You're lying.
He's talking with
just
his
so
eyes closed to Matt about something about taxes. Hold on. I'm bringing up your name a lot because she's a massive fan.
No, I don't even know him.
She hasn't been here.
Ask him why you don't have insurance.
Hold on a second.
Ask him
Mom.
Why he doesn't have health insurance.
Hold on, Mom.
Why does he not have health insurance?
He can't hear you.
Hold the phone up.
He's
why
talking.
Why does my son
I'm not,
not have health insurance?
Oh, he's on the. He's
How
talking
about
to Matt.
How about if he gets sick, huh?
Hold on.
Huh?
Matt's picking out pastries for his wedding. And
pastries?
I think they're cakes. I guess.
What?
He's cake shopping with
you
Matt.
You work at a bakery?
Hold on.
Is Abad a bakery?
Oh, Adam wants to know why he keeps hearing his name. Hold on a second.
Oh, my God.
I'm singing your praises to my mom.
She's a massive fan. I don't even like him.
And his own dad, too.
No.
Dad said,
your father hates him, too.
Dad says a bigger fan.
Send him out some angria.
No, what?
Hold on. That's me. I mean, I'm... Hold on, Adam.
Who was that in the background?
Adam is my boss, is saying I should send you out some...
He sounds cheap.
Cheap?
Yeah, he sounds like a cheapskate.
He sounds like a Jeep?
Like a cheapskate.
Oh, cheapskate.
Like a cheapskate.
No, he's generous. He's magnanimous. Do you know that word, Mom?
Magnanimous.
Magnanimous?
Magnanimous.
He likes to...
Maxapana.
No, he shares. He's a very good boss. He's the best boss since I worked at that TGI Fridays.
That was a good job. Because
Ken was a good
dude. That was a good
job. Ken was a salt of the earth.
That was a good job.
But since
Ken... You came home with the Jack barbecue sauce?
Yes, I did.
And the ribs?
Right.
Well, every day you come home with some type of...
Here I come home with high...
You don't come home with anything.
No, I come home with super high-end protein bars and lots of handcrafted beer. But I just steal that.
Nobody eats those things.
Well, I do. I do, Mom.
With my high blood pressure.
I do, Mom. Okay.
Get to nursing school just for your father and I. So when we get older, you can take care of us.
I'm doing quite nicely podcasting here and playing the acoustic guitar before the shows.
You play guitar?
Yes, I have a band. I play live before Adam does his shows.
I've never even heard of your band.
Well, Mom, you should ask yourself and Dad, by the way, why you've never seen me perform live.
Wait 1 second.
Okay. I didn't mean now.
In a band? Oh, guitar.
Yeah.
Your father had no idea you
played
guitar.
He doesn't know who Adam Carolla is either. So, you know what? Oh, by the way, I'm gay.
I'm very proud of you.
Oh, yes, wow.
That's
okay.
Very nice.
All right.
I have to go. Jimmy Kimmel is on.
Okay. And see. Thank you very much.
So, Chris, that's why your family hates you?
That was fairly accurate.
He's weeping tears of recognition.
You know, it's very true. As far as we're joking, that is so true. My mom wanted me to be a nurse or a mailman.
I wonder what...
That's
real. I'm trying to think.
That's what Filipinos do to their kids.
I'm trying to think of the culture quietly... Filipinos fly under the radar in the, here's what I want you to do for a living, and also I'd like you to date this person and not that person, mm-hmm. right? Like, no one ever says, oh, those racist Filipinos. But
I do. I say it on stage.
you bring home a black chick, and we got a problem over there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't even talk about that. No.
It's weird because Filipinos don't really ever get singled out for being a group like, whitey's at the top of the sort of racist
always.
Or intolerant pyramid in terms of gay or, you know, or you're dating out of your race or whatever. But in terms of dating out of the race, I think we're like 134 and culturally in terms of caring, right?
Yeah.
We get a lot of shit for that. But like, for instance, Jews have much stronger feelings about dating a non-Jew than they just basically just a blue-eyed devil dating a Jewish chick or a black chick or whomever, right?
Yeah, it's a cliche at this point. The mother wants the Jewish son to date a nice Jewish girl.
It even goes so far as like I had Filipino dentists growing up, doctors.
Yeah.
If I made a Filipino friend at school, our parents would become friends.
That's so true. Not friends, best friends.
It's that sort of Manny Pacquiao syndrome. Like it's like a really tight, crazy, insulated sort of insular community, right?
Yeah, real tight.
Little's fine, but branch out a little.
I like it.
Okay. So your mom wanted to be a mailman or a nurse?
Yeah, she wanted me to either be a mailman or a nurse. And then she made my stepdad a mailman, and he's white.
Oh, I see.
She made him. Yeah. He retired from the army, and then she was like, "You should become a mailman." I even asked him. He was like, "Yeah, your mom wanted me to be a mailman."
Wow. Pretty pliable dude.
Yeah.
And that was Joe Coy as my mom. Sounded way too real to me.
You should actually play this for her. I wonder what her reaction would be.
No, she would love it. All right, let's get going with another clip. Let's keep Joe in the mix. This one is from 2014.
This episode has Tracy Morgan on it. This is before he joins them. This is Joe Coy, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's from April of 2014, Adam Carolla Show 1298. Adam riffs about the Hollywood herpes doctor. We're talking about filming Road Hard. And I actually know somebody whose wife does that in Canada for all the actors who have to come in and film productions there. And she's in charge of getting them their Valtrex and their other opiates and things that they need. It's a very funny and very accurate clip. Check it out.
And Joe Coy in studio.
Hello, Seth.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Irvine Improv, April 11th and 12th. And then also the 18th and the 19th as well in Irvine. Not many guys can pull that weekend-to-weekend business up. But, Joe, is that funny, that prolific, and that popular? Couple things to get everyone caught up on. Those of you who've contributed to Road Hard, we're in our last week of pre-production.
Explaining how stressful that was.
It's very stressful. You start shooting. I start shooting on Monday morning. And it's a lot of location scouts and a lot of going, well, can we do day for night and night for day? Well, can we block out this window because this takes place at night? And can we call this hotel lobby? Could we make it into the lobby of the nightclub that I'm playing? It's like a lot of swapping, and you got to do it. One of the things that I found interesting was if you do a production, you guys may know this. I don't know if you guys had this. You have to get the physical. You have to go to the old lady in Hollywood. Let's just call it what it is. It's a fucking herpes inspection.
You have to be insurable.
It's all about the herpes. Like, there's a whole page of herpes. It's during the course of a 5-week shoot, you're probably not going to have a coronary, but you might have a herpes outbreak. And if you have a herpes outbreak, that's a situation. And since everyone in Hollywood gave herpes to one another, then that's really what it is. She didn't like me calling her the herpes doctor, but they don't want to examine anything except for the herpes part of your life. There's a whole herpes page. They call it cold sores.
Wouldn't that make a lot more sense of like why certain actors weren't bigger stars? You know, like if there was like some hidden meaning and that was the meaning, like why isn't Harvey Keitel in more movies? Oh, he has a raging case of herpes.
If you really think about it, if you got something going on your lip big time and you're leading anything, you have to wait. And that wait is not going to be when the thing dies down. There ain't makeup to go over herpes.
There's not enough makeup.
Not enough.
You ever seen Keitel give out an Oscar? I don't think so.
It's a good point.
So what does that mean? People who have herpes just don't work?
I don't know. I don't know if they give you certain medication. I don't know what it is. But either way, you have to go to the herpes doctor. And I've been. It's a little old sort of Dr. Ruth kind of lady in Hollywood. And you just go in there. And she has all her celebrity clients up on the wall.
Yeah.
But
no, she does not.
All of them have herpes.
Well, no, they don't all have herpes. They all have to go through her to get insured to make a movie.
Yeah.
But
you want to sign that extra clearly. Thank you for not treating the herpes I do not have.
They literally, you don't want to protest too much. They tear up the page. There's three pages. There's the, you know, history of, you know, heart ailments and, you know, prosthetic limbs and blah, blah, blah. And then there's a herpes page.
Yeah.
And it says cold sores on it?
It is cold sores. No,
right,
yeah, it says herpes, cold sores, history, or whatever. That's a whole page. She literally tears it up if you're not, you don't qualify for it. But the thing that was funny is when I walked out of her office, I looked at the wall of celebrities that have been through her place.
Judge Reinhold giving you a big thumbs up.
Well, a little bit more ironic. The picture I saw was of Bernie Mac. And Gary, ready for this one? And it's Bernie Mac giving you the, hey, man. Like, he's literally pointing directly at you going, what's up, my brother? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're dead from a weird disease.
Bernie Mac, by the way,
happened when you were fairly young.
By the way, that headshot is everywhere in Hollywood. That Bernie Mac headshot, him pointing. Because I was at a Peruvian restaurant, same thing right by the register.
I'm just saying, when you're...
A doctor?
Well, when you go... I'm not saying take down all the pictures of the deceased people you've worked with. I'm saying don't have them be the first person you see as you exit your office.
I feel like if you're a doctor, and this might not be politically correct. You may as well take down the dead people on your wall. Unless it's like, you know, Lionel Barrymore.
Yeah, and also, you don't run a subjoint in Canoga Park. You're a doctor. Let's have some fucking decorum. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
if you
get
were a dentist, you wouldn't have pictures of toothless people. It's
right.
The same thing. It's lifeless people.
Well, you're the celebrity doctor. We get it. Everyone has to go through you to get cleared to make for insurance to make a movie. So the wall is covered. But Bernie Mac died at a fairly young age of a disease that he had for many years that it was this sort of bizarre. It wasn't scleroderma or something like that, but it was a weird disease. It's again not the guy you want. And in the picture, he's pointing at you. It's like
you're next.
Yeah. Always room for one more.
Watch your back.
She said I was okay too.
That's right. She said I'll see you at your 100th birthday. Yeah. Then that was the last time we spoke. Dead at the age of 50. I will turn 50 in 6 weeks. And died from, oh my God, you got to help me with this one.
Sarcoidosis?
Complicated by pneumonia. Everything. I feel like pneumonia was at a dinner party. It'd be like, pneumonia, what are you doing here? I don't mind. I'm just here to complicate things.
Just help
out. I didn't get an invite. Nothing formal. Yeah. I'm just here to complicate. I'll be outside smoking, as a matter of fact. I'll come back in and complicate if anyone needs me. Now, when I'm looking, I'm not calling myself like the alpha disease.
Yeah.
I just sort of slide in after, you know, you make your move, scleroderma, whatever you got, a tuberculosis, you make your move, then I'll slide in and complicate things afterward. I'm not the lead disease. I'm riding shotgun.
You just tagged along with emphysema.
Yeah.
I'm here to make it hard to recover.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
no,
all?
I will ultimately kill you,
yes.
But I won't be the thing that started knocking over the dominoes that killed you. I will just slide in at the end and take full credit.
Now, your name will be on the death certificate, not on the admission report.
Right. That's right. It's really, if you really think, if
that's all pneumonia does. It's like right when you have something, he's like, you know what? You need a really bad cough, too.
Pneumonia is like you're out big game hunting, you shoot a wildebeest, and it slides in and takes a picture with its arm around its antlers. Like, yeah. What? No, I was tracking that thing for 4 days. Like, pneumonia slides in at the very end and kills whoever it is and then takes full credit.
It upstages the other disease.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a complicator.
It is.
Yeah.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Yeah, it's a one-upper, pneumonia is.
AIDS is a pretty big disease, but pneumonia is the one that takes it. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. You'll be struggling
with AIDS. I got this.
Yeah, you're struggling with AIDS. It's really like you're driving the Indianapolis 500, and pneumonia grabs the wheel for the last lap and just comes across, bangs the pit chicks, holds the checker flag, drinks the milk, you know, kisses the ground with the brick, you know.
Champagne
the
crowd.
It's the closer.
Yeah, like you worked 8.5 hard innings, AIDS, and now here comes pneumonia to mop up and be hoisted on everyone's shoulders as you're carried out of the ballpark. The fuck, pneumonia?
Who are you, pneumonia?
The other diseases must hate pneumonia, and then pneumonia must come, like, sniffing around. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, what's up, tuberculosis? Nothing. Why? Just seeing. Just checking. Just kicking tires.
Need some water for those lungs?
Yeah, I'm just here to help out. Yeah.
I'm all good. Keep walking.
Yeah. All right.
Get to step in, pneumonia. All right. I know you're gay. No. I felt this last time and the time before.
Pancreatic cancer. How's it hanging?
Great. I'm killing tons of people.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I just come in and mop up. Yeah, that elderly guy over there. Looks like he's having a little difficulty breathing.
I got him.
You do and you don't. I've seen him checked in and checked out of this place a couple times.
My history is unassailable.
Yeah, yeah.
Unassailable.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think you can come. I know. I've been told about you.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been warned about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's what they all say. Let me just come in. Pneumonia is that pillow that the angel of mercy drops on the head of the person that's just clinging to life. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, they probably wouldn't have left anyway, but we're going to make sure they're not walking out anyway.
Pneumonia closes your eyes right when you pass
that's
away.
Right. Does that move. Yeah.
See you later, bro.
Pneumonia. Always taking all the fucking credit.
Do you think anyone's ever had the opportunity to actually do that pulling the eyelids closed move in real life?
I want to. I would love to do that just once.
Yeah, it'd be sweet. I think cool. I would fuck it up. Like, one would stay open. It'd be always winking at me. Is it coming on to me? Woo. Yeah, somebody's naughty. Yeah, I'd screw it up. Or I feel like what would happen was is I would close them both. They would both stay shut for a moment, and then one would pop open.
Mm-hmm. Like those dolls?
Yeah.
The crazy dolls, you lie down and the eyes closed. And you pick
right. Them, yeah, and then eventually I'd have to glue them shut or get some duct tape or
then
grip
tape.
Then
you're in serial killer mode.
Either way, I walked out of the office and got a what's up from the guys not here anymore.
Yeah.
And doing the pointing. By the way, pointing with the picture, the many things, you know, look, people talk about how tough it is to be an African-American in this community. I make this argument. You can wear whatever hat you want. No one gives you any shit. And you can point during pictures. A white, whitey can't. No white comedian, without being ironic, can point. Conan O'Brien can't point in a picture unless Conan O'Brien's being ironic.
Like the doing an Uncle Sam kind
of thing. Brother can point and get away with it. Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you're supposed to point if you're a brother.
Yeah, there's a law.
It's mandatory.
There's laws. Yeah. That's right.
If he takes a regular picture, his other black friends will go, why'd you point?
Yeah, you need a point.
The fuck you doing, man? Taking a picture and not pointing at the goddamn camera.
That's right. That's right.
Just
other black.
Stand there, motherfucker. You ain't a security guy.
That's right, other black comedian. Joe Coy's new character, the other black comedian.
Hey, motherfuckers!
You're getting more generic.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't wearing my hat.
Well, next time, point.
Well, I didn't
that
know.
That way, when you sign the glossy, and they read it back to themselves, you point right at them.
Well, hold
this
on.
This autograph is for you.
I put the name right on the top so they
I
know it's there.
I understand that, motherfucker, but if you ain't pointing, who's that autograph for?
Well, Dan or whoever the name is.
And Dan ain't going to know. He just stand there looking off to the fucking right. Ain't nobody to the right. You looking right ahead. Point to that motherfucker.
I'm not making excuses.
I know you ain't.
But the photographer said, put your hands in your pocket and shrug your shoulders. That's a funnier
was
comedic.
Was the photographer white?
Well, yeah, I was a white guy.
He's trying to make you look stupid. See, that's I don't go to a white photographer.
Well, he's
a
friend of the family.
Photographer.
Well, he told me to do a thing where I put my hands in my pocket and I do a shoulder shrug.
Yeah, like you're under arrest. Motherfucker wants you to be arrested.
No,
that's
I think
what you look like when you get arrested.
No, it's kind of an 80s kids thing. Like, ooh, who, me?
What the fuck you is know? That shit?
No, 80s kids thing. Ooh, who, me?
Yeah, like Gary Coleman?
Well, yeah, something like that. Like I didn't do it.
What
you know,
the
that
fuck?
Wasn't... You know, what?
Why would you take a picture like that?
Who? Those aren't...
You're a black man.
I didn't touch those cookies. Who? Not me.
That's bullshit.
Well, that's what he told me to do.
Next time you take a picture, point.
I may have gotten some where we pointed. We just
pointed. Why didn't you use it?
We used
listen here,
a jeweler's loop, and then we just... He took so many.
Just point at every single time he took. Every time he clicks, point.
I can't point every time. He took like 400 pictures.
Look, there's a one finger point.
The one
you
finger.
You hold the one hand up and point.
Right.
Then there's a two finger point.
How's that work? Is that both arms?
It's both arms pointing at the goddamn camera.
Oh, so it's both.
Boom. There
Boom.
You go.
Okay. Right.
And then there's one that pointing at the Lord. Like, goddamn.
Oh, there's up.
Like,
yeah.
Well, thank you,
say,
Jesus.
Goddamn. All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Just pointing at the Lord.
I may have one, but I don't know if my eyes were closed
you
or something.
Well, you know what? Just wear sunglasses. That's
Ooh,
what I always do.
I came in with sunglasses, but he told me to take them off.
Never take them off.
He wanted the thing where I
always
put my hands
wear
in my pocket.
The only time a black man wears sunglasses is indoor. You know this.
Oh, I never... I'm just not good at being black. I don't even sound black.
You need help, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm going to make you black.
I am black. I just don't sound black, and I do that weird shrug thing instead
Stop
of the pointing
doing that
thing.
Shrug thing. Shit!
I'm not trying to set
Have
the
you ever seen
cause.
A black man shrug before?
Mm, oh, wait, I just shrugged.
Yeah,
shit.
You just did it again.
God damn it. Well, that's my default move.
Look at me. I'm pointing right at you, motherfucker.
No,
Stop
I know
shrugging.
You're pointing. I shrug. I don't
Take
know.
A
that,
picture.
I'm shrugging
Take
now.
A picture.
Thank you. Insane. As an incensed black comedian. Joe Coy, everybody. So
good night.
I got, there he was pointing at me when I was walking out saying you're next. I'm not saying you have to remove the picture, but just remove it from that particular area. So it's not something.
Do you have herpes?
No, I don't have herpes. So she physically tore.
Does that
tore.
Mean you don't have them?
Yeah, that means I don't have herpes.
She physically tore the paper up. Speaking of movies.
I think Jay Moore has herpes.
Mm-mm. Well, he's going to be in my movie, so
it's,
look
it's,
out.
It's pissing me off.
Because
he kissed me twice.
Yes, he did.
Allison recorded it. Mm-hmm. And as I backed off of the kiss, my upper lip started itching.
I don't think you feel it that fast.
With Jay Moore herpes, you feel it that fast.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It fucking itched.
Yeah, he's the Instamatic of herpes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened.
Was his picture in that office?
I didn't look. All I was so fixated on poor dead Bernie Mac pointing at me, saying, you're next. You know what I mean? That he didn't.
It was in his eyes.
It was in his eyes, yeah.
He applied it.
Yeah, we'll tell you about Allison and her role in the film as well. So Allison read the script. She enjoyed the script and wanted to be a part of the movie. So we got a little speaking role for Allison in the movie.
Very excited.
Yeah.
There's something in my butt.
First, she was going to be the stewardess, but then we'd already reached out to the person that was going to play the stewardess, and if she says
flight attendant,
sorry, and now we've got a better role for her. So, so we got that to look forward to. I had this thing, Jesus Christ, with my daughter last night. Boy, you know, now that Pops is back on TV, she's all over me. And
fresh up a trick, Mr. Carella.
That's right. That's her. I mean, she ignored me the first 6 and 7 and a half years of her life, and now she's up. Now that Daddy's on,
light your cigarette, Mr. C.
Yeah, but she said
she calls him Mr. C.
Yeah, like it's happy days. And she said,
"If you don't mind, Dad, can you sign these 8x10s for me?"
She was sitting there. Yeah, do the point. She was sitting there last night, and we were watching Catch a Contractor, and she said, "That guy, Skip, that guy, he's got big muscles." And I was like, "Yeah, he's got big muscles." "Yeah, not like you." You know, she said, I said, "Yeah, no. Yeah, he's got big muscles." And then she goes, "You think he's got a six-pack?" And I was like, what the?
Where is she getting it?
I don't know, but it's early, and it's often, and I fucking blame Katy Perry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, shit. I mean, this is a 7-year-old.
Sounds like it's coming from
a song. Yes. I mean, does he have a six-pack?
You should ask her if she knows what that means. Like, what is a six-pack?
She asked me if I knew what a six-pack was.
Because she was going to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like only yesterday my grandmother was asking me if I knew what a rim job was. Literally at the dinner table. Literally. At the dinner table.
Asking you what a rim job was.
Well, to be fair, she put it out to the table.
Yeah, it wasn't like she was addressing you.
But she knew my older Hungarian Jew of a grandfather probably wasn't going to offer up any answers. Yeah. It was more my realm. Like, did I know? She was at her VA, her Veterans Administration encounter group for, you know, sexual disabilities or whatever that she worked over. She worked at the VA for 50 years. And one of the guys was talking about getting a rim job from some dude. You know, I guess when you're in a circle, you share. And you share about licking another dude's circle.
Yeah.
And she, the more you know, she was embarrassed. She didn't know what a rim job was, but she didn't want to say anything because she had to keep her street cred in front of the, you know, haggard Vietnam vets who were giving out the rim jobs or receiving them. It was unclear.
Yeah.
But she did put that forth to the table of what is a rim job.
Did you answer?
I had my knee-jerk reaction to any trivia. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if somebody says...
Because it wasn't a dirty question to you. You were just happy that you were going to be the first one to answer.
There's a moment, like, if someone goes, you know, anyone know what state the city of Plentywood's in? And if you know it's in Montana, you want to fucking go, Montana! Like, yeah. You want to be the first guy. So there's a knee-jerk impulse to go, like, oh, Mr. Carter, you know, like over here. But I started to give like a ah, and then I went like.
Eh. You yelled out, Pete.
I'm going to eat more goulash and just kind of keep my head down.
So did she go to her grave not knowing?
No, I believe she got her answer. Maybe my sister chimed in. Maybe it was discussed about the table. I do remember also she was explaining to me that it was not clitoris, it was clitoris once, and we had to go to my now deceased grandfather's dictionary with the oversized print in it.
Yeah.
Each letter's like 2.5 inches high. So it's like you can't fit a whole word on one page. You have to turn it. You have to clit and then turn the page, clitoris, you know. And it said, and it was funny, it was a weird argument. Like, I said, look, I think, you know, I don't think it's clitoris, it's clitoris. She said, no, it's definitely clitoris, it's not clitoris. Went back and forth a few times, went to the dictionary. Dictionary said, yeah, you can do it either way.
Yeah.
By the way, hey, dictionary, what the fuck do we need you for?
Fence-sitter.
Thank you for settling this argument, douche. Is you settled
what,
nothing.
Is that what dictionary said for a clitoris? It was like, potato, patata.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Pick. The one you want. It's like, what the fuck do we need you for? What do we need your fat ass
because
sitting in my grandpa's room?
95% of the time someone goes to a dictionary, it is to settle a score, to settle a bet.
Right. Yeah, now it's the internet, but then it was a dictionary. So either way, it did say do it however you want to do it.
And that clip was Adam and Joe Coy talking about the Hollywood herpes doctor. And according to Gio, quite accurate.
It's a real thing. They need to make sure you don't get sores on your lips when you're shooting movies. Yeah. I was just watching Dread 3D. I'm like, this movie's great. And there's one scene where the lead actress has a sore on her lip that they couldn't cover up. And I'm like, oh my God, they're shooting this with like 3D cameras. This has to be so annoying for her and everybody involved. And it's permanently on that movie. It's like, why does she have a herpes for 15 minutes in the middle of the movie?
Yeah. Where's the attention to detail? Even someone should have seen it down the line.
I think they saw it. They just couldn't afford to CG that out. And that's why they have the Hollywood herpes doctor with the Valtrex.
There you go. See, we're also providing a learning experience here on Corolla Classics.
You can't be an actor if you have herpes, or you can only be an actor if you have herpes. It's one of the two.
Before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody that this Friday and Saturday, Adam will be in Tempe, Arizona at the Improv performing some live podcasts. We've got John Holmberg and Rob Schneider joining us on stage. And he's also doing some stand-up and Adam Carolla's Unprepared, depending on which shows you go to. There are four shows that weekend. Come to all of them. They will all be different. Now, let's get going with our final clip. We started off with some Wheeler Walker Jr., and that's how we're ending it.
Adam Carolla Show 2039, Wheeler Walker Jr., Joe Coy, not in this portion, Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, March of 2017. This is his first performance of Summers in Kentucky, outside of doing it in the studio for the album. And he has an assistant along with him they call Little Wheeler. Check it out.
So what song we going to do?
This is a summer song. It's my first summer song. A little kind of serious for me. This one's called Summers in Kentucky. We're from Kentucky, so it's about being on the road and missing home. And I'll just go ahead. Sneaking out of my house, I was just 16. Met you in the dark down by the creek. We mess around till we got cold feet. Summers in Kentucky, they were hard to beat. 25 years later, our lives have changed. Meeting girls on the road who are half my age. Sometimes I think about the creek when I'm on stage. Summers in Kentucky, man, I miss that place. Used to press your pussy up against my mouth. Now you've had a couple kids and it's all stretched out. But I'm starting to think we could figure it out. Summers in Kentucky, wanna be back now. Ever feel like ditching your man? Grab your kids, hit the road with a country band. There's room for all y'all inside of my van. We can start our lives all over again. Heard you gained a few, got saggy tits, but who am I to say, cause I've aged like shit. Why I think we'd be the perfect fit. Summers in Kentucky, man, I sure miss it. I'd give up all the pussy and the young shade muff. Bring your flabby ass back, that would be enough. You and I both looking pretty rough. Since the summers in Kentucky, man, I miss that stuff.
Oh, woo, man, Wheeler Walker Jr. and Junior Jr., Baby Jr. with him.
Thanks, man. That was a, you know, that was the first time I've played that since we recorded in the studio. That's a world premiere.
That was one of the more serious songs you said.
That is the serious song. Yeah.
And that was Wheeler and Little Wheeler.
Wheeler Jr. Jr.
Wheeler Jr. Jr. That's right, back in 2017. As we told you, we love whenever he performs. Always excited when we see him coming in, or hear that he's coming in. Dawson gets his DI boxes ready, gets ready to record him right. Makes it sound
amazing.
Good. Yeah, and super fun, and we're always just cracking up in the booth. So that'll do it for Corolla Classics. We'll be back tomorrow for our Sunday show, so make sure to subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed to get that one, and we'll see you there. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.